All right, so picture this. You're a lawyer. You're working for a big Las Vegas casino, and they're in a trademark dispute. Pretty normal, right? But there's a catch.
Oh, what's the catch?
The defendant, the company they're fighting with, it's an online gambling site, and it's based all the way in Costa Rica.
Ah, I see where this is going. Serving them with legal papers must have been interesting.
Exactly. That's the whole point of this deep dive, actually.
Ooh.
We're looking at Rio Properties v. Rio International Interlink, a case that really gets into jurisdiction issues in our digital world.
It's fascinating how the internet has made it so much harder to actually, well, find these international companies you need to, take to court.
Right. It's not like you can just pop over to their office with a summons. So let's break this case down. We've got Rio Properties, the casino. They're battling Rio International Interlink. We'll just call them RII for short.
Makes sense.
The fight is over using the trademark RIO. RII has these websites like riosports.com and betrio.com, and Rio Properties is saying, hey, that's our turf.
So first things first, how do you even find these guys? Did RII even have like a real office?
Well, that was the first hurdle. It seemed like they only existed online. They had an address listed in Miami, but it turned out to be just a mail forwarding service.
So they were basically ghosts. Poof.
Pretty much. Rio Properties tried all the usual tricks. They even tried to serve RII through a lawyer RII had used in Los Angeles, but he wouldn't accept the papers for them.
Yeah.
So what do you do when the defendant is basically invisible?
I have to get creative, I bet.
You bet they did. Rio Properties went to the court and asked if they could serve RII through, wait for it, email.
Email. Seriously, did that actually fly?
It did. The court actually said yes, pointing to Rule 4 of the Federal Rules of Civil Procedure.
Now, refresh my memory on that one.
It's the rule that basically says the court can okay different ways of serving legal papers as long as they're not against international rules and the defendant is likely to actually get the notice.
Ah, okay, right. So the court's basically saying, hey, it's the 21st century. People do business by email, so why not legal stuff too?
Exactly. And the really big deal here is that the court said Rule 4.3 isn't just the last resort. You can use it right from the start if you're dealing with a company that's internationally based and hard to pin down.
That's huge for lawyers dealing with internet businesses. But serving them is only half the battle. How did the court convince itself that it could even make decisions about a company outside the US?
Well, that's where RII's own actions came back to bite them. Remember, they didn't have offices or employees in Nevada, but they were running all these online ads specifically targeting people in Nevada, trying to get them to gamble on their site.
So they might not have been physically in Nevada, but they were definitely trying to do business there.
You got it. And the court used this idea called purposeful availment. Basically, because RII was directing their business toward Nevada, they had a virtual presence there, and that made them subject to Nevada's courts.
You can't just hide behind a website and say, nope, not here. If you're actively making money off a place, you've got to play by their rules.
It's a powerful message, right?
Yeah.
So email works for serving them, and being online doesn't mean you can dodge local laws. What did RII do next? Did they fight back?
I'm on the edge of my seat here. This is better than a courtroom drama.
Buckle up, because what they did next is a wild ride. So they did fight back initially. They responded to the whole lawsuit thing, said the court didn't have jurisdiction, all that jazz. But then, well, they kind of messed up big time.
Oh boy, what did they do?
They basically ghosted the court, completely ignored all the court's orders for discovery, the whole nine yards.
Yikes. That's never a good look. I can't imagine the court was thrilled about that.
You're telling me. Ignoring the court, that's like basically waving a red flag in their face.
And the court definitely saw it as disrespect, a blatant disregard for the legal process.
So what happened? Did the court hold them in contempt or something?
Things escalated quickly. The court went straight to a default judgment, right in favor of Rio Properties.
Wow. So they basically lost the whole case because they didn't want to play by the rules.
Pretty much. And it gets worse. They were also slapped with a bunch of fees, all because they ignored the court.
Talk about adding insult to injury. Seems like a pretty harsh consequence, though, doesn't it? A default judgment right off the bat.
It might seem that way, but there is a method to the madness. The court had its reasons.
Okay, walk me through it. Why such a strong stance?
Remember the whole reasonably calculated to give notice thing from Rule 4? That ties into a bigger legal standard called the Mullane standard. Basically, any legal notice has to be given in a way that's fair and actually likely to reach the person it's intended for. Gives them a chance to respond,
So it's about fairness, even when you're dealing with someone who's trying to dodge you. Makes sense.
Exactly. The court felt that RII had been given a fair chance to respond, especially after they decided email was a valid way to serve them. RII just chose to throw that chance away.
By completely ignoring the discovery orders.
Yep. And by doing that, they basically stalled the whole case.
Right. The court can't just let a case drag on forever while one side plays hide and seek. It wouldn't be fair to real properties.
Exactly. They had to balance RII's actions with keeping things moving and making sure the legal process actually works.
So the default judgment, although a tough outcome, was a way to protect the system itself and maybe even deter others from doing the same thing.
It definitely sends a message. You can't ignore the court and get away with it. Actions have consequences.
No kidding. But even with the judgment and the fees, Rio Properties still wanted more.
Really? What more could they ask for? They won, right?
This is where the trademark part comes in. They wanted to make sure RII couldn't just pop up again with a slightly different website name and keep doing the same thing. They went for a permanent injunction.
Ah, permanent injunction. That's like the legal equivalent of a cease and desist order, right?
Basically, yeah. Rio Properties wanted the court to order RII to stop using the RIO trademark, period.
A smart move to protect their brand and make sure customers aren't confused. And since RII already lost by default, they couldn't really fight it.
So the court agreed.
They did. RII was permanently blocked from using that trademark. Case closed, problem solved. What a wild ride.
From invisible defendant to a full-blown court smackdown.
It's a pretty compelling story. But the thing about Rio Properties v. Rio International Interlink, it's bigger than just this one case. It really shows how lawyers have to deal with international stuff in the digital age. It's a whole new ballgame.
So what's the takeaway for lawyers then? Why should they care about this case?
Well, for starters, it throws a wrench in the whole idea of what jurisdiction even means online.
Yeah, we touched on that earlier. Just being online doesn't mean you can escape the reach of the law.
This case makes that crystal clear. Courts can step in when a foreign company is targeting customers in a certain place, even if they don't have a physical office there.
No more hiding behind a website, huh? Big win for consumers.
Absolutely. But the case also screams, play by the rules. RII learned that the hard way.
Don't try to outsmart the court. Good advice for anyone.
And remember, this all started with a trademark issue. Think about the potential consequences for companies in even more complicated legal fights.
It's a lot to think about. Companies really need to understand international law in this online world.
Couldn't agree more. Having a good lawyer who knows how to navigate all this is more important than ever.
All right, so we've talked about jurisdiction, what happens when you ignore the court, and why you need a good lawyer. What else can we learn from Rio Properties?
One of the most interesting things is how adaptable the legal system can actually be.
How so?
Think about it. The Federal Rules of Civil Procedure, those were written way before the internet even existed.
Yeah, back when people had to hand deliver documents or send them through the mail.
Exactly. But the court realized those methods wouldn't cut it in this case. They had to find a way to serve RII that actually worked, that was reasonably calculated to give notice, like Rule 4.3 says.
Which is why they allowed service by email.
Right. And that's not a small change. It shows that courts can change with the times, not let old ways of doing things get in the way of justice.
So this case could be a stepping stone for even more innovation in the legal system.
Absolutely. It opens up the possibility of using things like social media or even virtual reality to serve legal papers as long as it's fair to everyone involved.
That's like the legal system is finally catching up to the 21st century.
About time. And this case reminds us that the law isn't stuck in the past. It's always changing and adapting to the challenges we face.
Okay, so we've covered jurisdiction, default judgments, the need for good lawyers, and the legal system's ability to adapt. Anything else we should hit before moving on?
There's one more thing, the importance of precedent. This isn't just some interesting story. It's a case that other courts will look to when they're making decisions in similar situations.
True. It's like a guide for lawyers and judges, showing what arguments have worked and what strategies might be effective in the future.
It's part of the ever-growing body of law, always evolving. That's what makes the law so fascinating.
It's like a living thing. So we've dug into the facts of the case, the legal stuff, what it means for companies, and the legal system as a whole. But there's one big question that comes to mind. How do we balance efficiency in the legal system with the right to a fair process?
That's the million-dollar question. We want courts to be efficient, handle cases quickly and fairly, but not at the expense of anyone's rights. Real Properties really shines a light on this.
The court's decisions, like using email and giving that default judgment, they were all about making things move faster.
But those decisions also had the potential to affect RII's right to a fair hearing. This case makes us think about the trade-offs we make when we're trying to modernize the legal system.
How do we bring the legal system into the internet age without sacrificing fairness? It's a question we all need to think about as technology keeps changing the game. It's a tough balancing act, that's for sure. Keeping things fair and efficient when technology is always throwing curveballs.
And don't forget about globalization adding another layer of complexity on top of that. We've got companies doing business everywhere, interacting with customers and courts all over the world.
It's like a tangled web, and technology just makes those connections even more blurry.
Exactly. Cases like Rio Properties, they're just the beginning. We're going to see way more disputes with international companies, online activity, and those tricky jurisdiction questions.
So what's a lawyer to do? It sounds like they need a whole new skill set to handle all this.
Absolutely. Lawyers these days got to be tech savvy, understand different legal systems around the world, and be comfortable working across borders. They need to know international law inside and out and be ready to think outside the box when it comes to litigation.
It's like being a lawyer isn't enough anymore. They got to be part legal scholar, part internet detective, part global diplomat, all rolled into one.
That's a great way to put it. And it's not just lawyers who need to pay attention. Businesses have to be aware of all this, too. They need to understand the risks of doing business globally and have a plan to deal with those risks.
So things like having clear terms of service that say which laws apply, knowing about international trademark rules, and making sure their online stuff follows the rules of the countries they're targeting.
Exactly. And maybe most importantly, they got to be ready to work with the legal system. Like Rio Property showed us, ignoring the court, that's a recipe for disaster.
Okay, so let's do a quick recap of what we've learned from our deep dive into Rio Properties v. Rio International Interlink. This case is huge for lawyers dealing with international defendants in this internet age. It shows that email can be used to serve legal papers, clarifies how jurisdiction works online, and highlights the importance of following court orders.
And I think the biggest takeaway, it shows how the legal system can adapt and keep up with the ever-changing digital world.
If you're involved in international business or litigation, this case is a must-read. It's a great story, an important legal precedent, and a glimpse into the future of law in our globalized digital world.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
And to all our listeners out there, we want to hear from you. How do you see this case affecting your work? What other legal challenges do you think will pop up as technology keeps advancing? Drop us a comment on our website or shoot us a message on social media. We love hearing from you and keeping this conversation going.
We always appreciate your insights.
And that's a wrap on this episode of The Deep Dive. Until next time, stay curious and keep exploring.